तस्मात् सर्वात्मना राजान् हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोताव्या कीर्तिताव्याश्च स्मार्थाव्यो भगवान् निर्नाम। O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service and love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, He should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad because through the machine one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear, because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sound vibrations by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Mohammed, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and place. This is called Sanatan Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavat means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga as above mentioned. Om. Maharaj Pariksit is asking Shukadev Goswami about the most essential duty for every human being. And in these verses, Shukadev Goswami is very clearly giving the authorized answer, the most important answer to the most important question in all of existence. Shukadev Goswami has explained that for those wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, along with the individual soul, and this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. By always hearing about, glorifying, and remembering Krishna, we can always be in connection with Krishna. Yoga means to reconnect with God. Religion means to keep one connected to God. And the Supreme Lord has so kindly appeared within the divine form of the very remembrance of Him, as well as the sound vibration which helps us to remember Him. And through the process of sound, we can always remember Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that there are 9 processes of devotional service, but this process of hearing is essential because all of the other 8 processes of devotional service are totally dependent on the practitioner submissively and attentively hearing the glories of the Lord. One cannot follow the process of Krishna consciousness without understanding and practicing the importance of hearing the glories of the Lord. Through the sound vibration coming through our ears into our hearts, a complete transformation of our lives can take place. If we do not hear nicely from the proper source, we will not understand what to remember, or who to remember, or how to remember. We will not know what to chant, or who to chant, for, or how to chant. Maharaj Pariksit achieved perfection simply by hearing from Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami achieved perfection simply by speaking, by chanting. But we should know, first he heard in complete submission and surrender to his guru and father, Vedavyas, and then after this he chanted. And similarly, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he achieved perfection simply by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always, everywhere, in every circumstance. But how was he enabled to remember the Lord attentively? Because he had heard submissively from his spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, the sound vibration of the Absolute Truth. And in the same way, all the nine processes of devotional service, there is a particular personality who has perfected their lives by practicing, but we find in each and every one of them, first they heard submissively from the proper authorities in disciplic succession. Attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, reading the books that the great acharyas have given us, is the very basic foundation of our spiritual lives. Srila Prabhupada explained, devotees must read his books in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they must not only read it, but they must read it with comprehension to understand the subject matter. Otherwise, we will not be able to practice the path of bhakti properly. And even, it is explained, the Harinam Mahamantra is the Yuga Dharma. The only means of deliverance in this age of Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But it is explained by Srila Sanatana Goswami that the potency of the holy name comes when we hear it submissively from a proper devotee in disciplic succession. If we do not hear the holy name submissively from such a soul, our chanting will not have the desired effect. In fact, it is said that hearing the chanting from people who are not devotees is like drinking milk that has been touched by a serpent. Milk in itself is very nutritious. Similarly, the holy name of the Lord is enriched with all the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The holy name of the Lord is none different than the Lord. But when it becomes touched by a person that has no devotion, a person that even may be propounding a philosophy that is opposed to the principles of eternal servitude, hearing the name from such a person actually has negative effects. The name is good, but what they are adding to the name, what comes with the name, is not good. Just like, for instance, people may recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is good. It is pure. Amalam Puranam. But when Mayavadis or Karmakandis or other such persons who do not believe in the pure principles of bhakti, when they present Bhagavatam, they present not only the words of the Bhagavatam, but they also give their own ideas. And their ideas is like poison being put in milk, because it distracts a person's attention away from the real essence of Bhagavatam, pure unalloyed devotion, eternal servitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, glorification of His eternal form, His eternal pastimes, His eternal qualities, associates, and names. This is the goal of the Bhagavatam. The name of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, have their full potency when they are heard from the lips of those humble servants who are repeating the true message of the parampara. And if we hear submissively, and if we understand what is actually the philosophy of the Absolute Truth, what is the proper knowledge by which Krishna has revealed himself, then what we chant and what we remember will have the maximum benefit to purify our very soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears again and again. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sampavami yuge yuge. He appears to annihilate the miscreants, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to give life and pleasure to his devotees. And when he appears in his various incarnations, He leaves behind wonderful pastimes, so that not only those who are directly present at the time of the appearance of the Lord, but all people for all time to come can associate and become purified by that incarnation through hearing, glorifying, and remembering. Matsyavatar appeared long, long ago to Maharaj Satyavrat. So long ago that our modern history has no way to even fathom this. And we understand from the Puranas a whole different conception of history. Puranas means very ancient. What we consider to be the beginning of time in today's history, what we consider as far back as we have any understanding in our materialistic, scientific, archaeological pursuits, we think that's very, very old and ancient. But the Puranas and those who have faith in the Puranas, like Srila Prabhupada, when he talks about that, he says, very modern history. Very recently. Modern man has practically no records of anything happening before 5,000 years ago. As far as the scientists and the historians of the material world. But Srila Prabhupada explains, recently Lord Chaitanya came, recently Krishna came, only 5,000 years ago. Because in the Puranas we read things that are going on millions and millions and millions of years ago. We are reading things that have gone on billions of years ago. We are reading about things that have gone on billions of years ago in different universes. And of course, sometimes we're even reading about what's going on what has been going on eternally in the past and will go on eternally in the present in the spiritual world beyond this creation. This is the substance of the Puranas. And we have our faith in the words of the Puranas. They are speaking the whole truth. So the Lord appears in this world, and Vedavyas and other great souls have recorded the beautiful, beautiful leelas of the Lord so that everyone can find great pleasure, purification, and as well as liberation from suffering by simply hearing about, glorifying, and remembering these wonderful, wonderful activities. And of all avatars, it is said, Ete chang shakala pungsha krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. That Krishna is the original source of all incarnations. He is Swayam Bhagavan. And he appears very rarely, only once in a day of Brahma. And how he appears is a wonderful story. It is explained that seeing the burden of so many demons on the earth took the form of a cow of the name Bhumi, and she prayed along with Lord Brahma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. Brahma understood the prayers of the earth, and being the original spiritual master of this particular universe, he understood that only Krishna can save. There is no other means. And however great we are, if we want to approach Krishna, we have to approach the spiritual master. That is why all the demigods, who are very great souls, and the earth herself, they all approach Lord Brahma. He's the spiritual master of the universe. And through his prayers, they were all able to make that connection with the Supreme Lord. And the Lord said, I will appear. I will appear in the Yadu dynasty. Devaki, Vasudev. They were being married. The voice called out in the sky that the eighth child will kill you, Kamsa. Kamsa, who was driving the chariot of Devaki, became very, very angry. He was about to kill his sister. But then Vasudev was very intelligent. He understood you cannot speak. He tried to speak philosophy, but demons, they don't like philosophy. You have to somehow or other negotiate diplomatically with them to keep them from causing too much trouble. I will give you every one of our children. You have no fear from Devaki. So by the arrangement of Kamsa, Devaki and Vasudeva were put in prison, and the first six children were ruthlessly slaughtered just after birth by Kamsa. And it is explained by the Shastra and by the Acharyas how these six children were previously the sons of the great sage Marichi. Marichi was one of the great sages, and his six sons were also very, very qualified. They were like demigods. But somehow or other they made aparad. They made Vaishnava aparad. And due to this Vaishnava aparad, they had to learn a good lesson, and they had to take birth in this world as demons. So one birth they took as the six sons of Hiranyakashipu. And later on, they took birth in the womb of Devaki, one after another. And they were killed by Kamsa. And it is explained that Marichi is actually he was born of the mind. He was born of the mind of Brahma, and he actually represents the mind. And the mind has six sons: lust, anger, envy, greed, false pride, and illusion. These are the six sons of the mind. And unless one is fearful of material existence, one cannot overcome these six demons of the mind, or sons of the mind. So Kamsa represents material fear, and Devaki represents the path of bhakti. Her womb represents bhakti. So in order for the Lord to appear through the path of bhakti, first we must cleanse ourselves of the six demons born of the mind, which are within our hearts. And the way we do this is we must have fear of material attachment. We must have fear of material entanglement, because that fear will actually give us the impetus to avoid material sense gratification. And that is one of the reasons we must hear very submissively every day. We must revive that fear if we want to be fearless. A devotee is fearless of any dangers as far as the body and everything else and any type of obstacles. But a devotee is always should be very fearful of the consequences of giving in to sense gratification. If we see these six enemies, these six demons born of the mind, lust, there are so many temptations. And we must understand that if I give in to these temptations, it will spoil the environment of my heart. Krishna will not want to appear. It will spoil the purpose of my life. So we must be very fearful of giving in to unrestricted sense gratification in the form of lust. There are so many warnings by the great souls about do not look upon, do not think upon, do not associate with the opposite sex for sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very strong in this principle. And Jagadananda Pandit, he said, even in your dreams you should be afraid to do this. When Lord Chaitanya punished Chota Haridas by abandoning him from his association due to his improper behavior with the opposite sex, it said all the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and most of them were all Paramhamsas, all those followers, after that, it said, they became so fearful that they would not even consider thinking about these things even in dreams. So if we are if we are aspiring, struggling neophyte devotees, we should know that if you play with fire, you get burnt. You should have respect for fire, but you should also fear the consequences of getting too close to it. So in the same way with the opposite sex, we should respect. We should give all respect, but we should be very fearful that if we get too close, we will get burnt. Or worse than getting burnt, we may melt like butter. That is also a verse spoken by Sri Narada Muni. And then there is anger. The tendency for anger is there in everyone who has any small trace of conditioning. And what are the consequences of anger? We must be fearful of that. If we are not afraid to be angry, we will be angry. Because it is their tendency, it is our nature. When our lust is unfulfilled, when our material expectations are not satisfied, it's your fault. Can't tolerate it. We start throwing things and screaming and all kinds of crazy things. These are our tendencies. But this will spoil your spiritual life. You make aparads to devotees when you do that. You say foolish things and you're responsible for everything you say. Everything is being recorded. Huh? Your whole life is being tapped. You know, phone tapping, room tapping. Your whole life is being tapped. Yamaraj has a tap right in your heart. And anything you say is being recorded forever. And of course, Paramatma. Paramatma is listening to everything and he never forgets anything. There is no tape recorder that can compare to the Paramatma. Endless reel. He never forgets anything, past, present, or future. It's all being recorded. And when we become angry, we say things, we do things, we think things that are very, very contrary to our spiritual progress. So a devotee must be very afraid of this demon named anger. Greed. This is a very strong tendency, greed. We want more and more and more and more and more. Even though our stomach is nice and full with prasad, we want more and more and more and more and more. Even though we have a nice house and we have a nice income and we're somehow surviving, we want more and more and more and more. We have this car, but we want a better car. We have this clothes, more clothes. Who was that one dictator of the Philippines? They broke into his house and they saw his wife had something like over 1,000 pairs of shoes. It's ridiculous. She only has 2 feet. What does she need thousands of pairs of? If she was the Virat Rupa with thousands of feet, then it's acceptable. But she has 2 feet and thousands of shoes. What does she do with all these thousands of shoes? Every step she changes her shoes. Otherwise, it's just to wear them all before she dies will be a great feat. Anyways, this is greed. We want so much, so much, more, 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 never satisfied. The senses are never satisfied. The mind is never satisfied by any material accumulation. Simple living, high thinking. We should just be content with what we need, what we require. We don't have to show that we have so much. So we should be very much fearful of this tendency for greed, because it is very strong. It is one of the six sons of the mind. As long as your mind is not fixed in Krishna, these six sons will always accompany the mind. Greed. Lust, anger, greed. What else? Pride. This is a very great, powerful son of Marichi of the mind. False pride. Whatever we do, if we do something good, we immediately want to tell everyone how wonderful I am. We want to hear the whole world glorify us. We want to hear that the demigods beating kettle drums. To whatever extent possible, we want to be glorified for what we have done. And if we do something wrong, we want to blame someone else, that I could have done it right, but because of you, look at what has happened, or because of this, it's not my fault. So in this way, false pride. False pride is so deadly, it just takes our consciousness so much away from the humble mood of serving Krishna. It causes us to commit offenses. We should be afraid of pride. We should be fearful. On one level, we're saying be fearless, and another, we're saying be fearful. Unless you're fearful, you cannot be fearless. Unless you're fearful of the demons of the mind, you cannot be fearless of material existence. So, and then there is illusion. And which did I forget? Envy. Envy is a very... Envious people forget that they shouldn't be envious. Envy is a very, very terrible, terrible son of the mind. The tendency. We see something, and if we want to compare ourselves, and if anything is better than us, it is intolerable. If anyone is better than us, it is intolerable. And ultimately, Krishna is the best, and that's the most intolerable. Krishna is the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. He's Vibhu and we're Anu. How could the Anu ever compare to the Vibhu? And if the Anu is envious of the Vibhu, what kind of envy is that? And wherever Krishna reveals his excellences, we become envious of that. Because we want to possess it for ourselves, not from someone else. So envy, we should be afraid of envy. Whenever that sun appears in our mind, we should not give in to it. We should be very much fearful. And illusion. So in this way, Kamsa represents fear of material existence. Which means, if we are properly afraid of these enemies of the mind, that fear will kill the enemies. Why? Because it will keep us always very much alert, attentive, to do the right thing at the right time, and take shelter of Krishna. You see, because of Kamsa, Devaki was always, because of fear of Kamsa, she was always taking shelter of Krishna. Because of fear of material existence, the Kamsa of material existence, we take shelter of Krishna, and all the demons of the mind and the are destroyed. And then as we become purified, then the spiritual master, who all along is helping us through this whole process, then through his mercy, he clears the way for Krishna's entrance. And this is what took place in this wonderful Leela. After the six sons of Devaki were killed by Kamsa, Krishna called for Yogamaya. And he said that I am going to be taking birth as the son of Devaki. He said, I have put my own self in the form of my original expansion of Balaram in the womb of Devaki. I want you, Yogamaya, to transfer Balaramji from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And then I want you to take birth as the daughter of Yashoda. So this is the strategy of the Lord. So Krishna in the spiritual world is the original absolute personality of Godhead, and eternally existing with him is his original expansion, who is none different than himself, Lord Balaram, who also possesses all the six opulences in full. Srila Prabhupada says the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is one has a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, and one has a white complexion like a spring cloud. And Balaram and Krishna are eternally existing, and Balaram's eternal function in the spiritual world is simply to support and facilitate and assist the wonderful pleasurable pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, whenever the Lord appears in his original form, Balaram first appears to make all nice arrangements for Krishna. So Balaramji appeared in the womb of Devaki. And Prabhupada explains in the Harivamsa, the detailed description is given, that Rohini was already in her 7th month of pregnancy. And Devaki was also in her 7th month of pregnancy. Rohini was the wife of Vasudev, but because Vasudev was in prison, Vasudev requested Nanda Maharaj, his very, very best of friends, to take care of his wife Rohini in his absence. So one night, Rohini had a dream, and in that dream, she experienced that her beloved child just disappeared from her womb, that there was a miscarriage. And she became very frightened by this, concerned as every mother would be. And she woke up, and sure enough, her womb was empty. At that time, Yogamaya explained to her that I am now going to put within your womb the original Shankarshan, Balaram, I'm transferring from the womb of Devaki. At that time, Balaramji was transferred into the womb of Rohini. And then, shortly later, Rohini Devi, in the beautiful land of Gokul Dham, under the auspicious care of Sri Nanda Maharaj and the Brijbasis, she gave birth to Lord Balaramji. And today we are celebrating the appearance day of Balaram. And tonight we will have a nice festival, and we will make some attempt to describe a portion of a drop of the supreme glories of Lord Balaramji. And in this way, we are hoping that all of you will please come and attend. It will be beginning at 6:30. And today is also Rath Yatra in Mira Road. So those of you who can do both, that will be the best. Because Lord Balaramji, along with his sister and brother, Subhadra and Jagannath, will be taking a nice chariot ride through the auspicious roads of Mira Road. Huh? And casting their merciful glances upon everyone. So it's a wonderful way to celebrate Balaram's Jayanti by dancing and singing in front of Lord Balaram throughout the day. But if you do go, please come back to Radha Gopinath's temple by 6:30. Some austerity is very nice. On Janmashtami, the austerity is to fast till midnight. On Balaram's appearance day, we request the austerity of dancing all day and then coming back and dancing all night. Like that. So Balaramji has so mercifully appeared as Lakshman. And what was Lakshman's business? His business was simply to always facilitate Lord Ram, and on his lips were always the glorification of Ram. And Lord Balaram, whatever he did, was always simply to facilitate the wonderful, wonderful Leela of the Lord. And facilitate means to make Krishna's pastimes available to everyone at all times, to hear about, glorify, and remember. And in this age of Kali Yuga, Balaram has appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. And by his own example, he was 24 hours a day at all times, in all places, at all times, in all circumstances, he was glorifying Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requesting, begging everyone to hear about, glorify, and remember the Lord. It is by his mercy, it is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that we have all information about the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was through his grace that Vrindavan Das Thakur had written Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is by his grace that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has written Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, it is by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu that all the information we have to hear about, remember, and glorify Lord Chaitanya has been given. And Vedavyasa is a Shakti Vaish avatar. Where is he getting his power from to write all the Vedic literatures? Ultimately from Lord Balaram, who is the original spiritual master of all creation and the source of all other incarnations. So it is by Balaram's mercy that all the avatars are known to the world. He is the supreme source of all glorification. And as Shesha, with his thousands of mouths, he never stops chanting the names and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Shri Balaramji ki, Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananti Gauri Vaishnava Brinda ki, Gopemanandi.